The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. Okay, so welcome to Happy Hour. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Diana Clark, and I'm quite happy to be here and to kind of share this practice with you. As I was chatting a little bit beforehand, I'm just coming off of a long retreat, and I did a lot of loving-kindness practice on the retreat and kind of explored it and played with it, and I look forward to kind of the next few weeks to kind of share with you some of the things that I learned and discovered and played with and practiced with. But today I wanted to talk about expectations. And I mean, they have such a role in our lives, right? So many ways that we have expectations. Often we don't even know we have expectations until they don't get met. And then we realize, ouch, you know, what's going on? I thought it was going to be this way, and it's not that way. And of course, an obvious place where we have expectations is in how we're going to find some peace and happiness, how we're going to find wholeness, how we're going to find healing, how we're going to feel better. Sometimes we may have the expectation that somebody else is going to help provide this for us, that somebody else may be a spiritual teacher, maybe a therapist, maybe an intimate relationship we have. But there may be, maybe it's not even so obvious to us, but we may have these ideas that somebody else, if we just find the right somebody else, is going to make it relieve all our suffering, lead us to wholeness and healing. Maybe you say, of course we have these expectations. How many Harlequin romances are there out there? How many movies, right, kind of support this idea of living happily ever after? But there's probably a part of us that recognizes that actually we are in charge of our wholeness, finding wholeness, becoming whole and healing, and finding an end to our suffering, or even a diminishment of our suffering. It's not to diminish the role of relationships that have in our lives. Of course, relationships are so important. They're an integral part of our lives. But also, there's a big part of that we have in our own healing and in our path to the end of suffering. But a part of our way of finding to wholeness is to let go. Let go of this expectation, let go of this fantasy that somebody, something out there is going to provide all the answers, provide everything that's needed. Part of our way to find kind of this end of suffering or have less suffering is to let go of the belief that we're powerless to have less suffering. These two beliefs that somebody else, something else out there is going to be the answer, or the idea that we don't have the power to be the answer. Part of our way to healing and wholeness and well-being, peace and freedom is to let go or at least soften these beliefs. And you may say, okay, well, that sounds nice, but let's be honest, it's not so easy, right? Just let go of these beliefs. Now that you see them, just let go of them. And that's part of where loving kindness practice can help. It can help in a number of ways. One, with loving kindness practice, there it just naturally, we don't have to make it happen, it just naturally happens that there starts to be a little bit more sense of fullness, of completeness, of, you know, our hearts kind of get filled up, even if it's just for a few moments while we're doing this practice. But we start to have the experience of not having a sense of lack that is pushing us around and driving us to do things that perhaps don't lead to an end of suffering, but maybe even increase our suffering. So loving-kindness practice can also help us gain some confidence in ourselves, to recognize that we deserve love and care, respect, warmth, kindness, just like everybody else. And we don't have to wait for the perfect conditions, the perfect person, the perfect environment in order to feel it, to experience it. Loving kindness practice is a way in which we can cultivate that. We can provide it for ourselves no matter the conditions. It's possible. It is really possible. I promise you that loving kindness practice can help kind of, I don't know, bolster your heart, make your heart feel more full, bring a sense of ease. I'm not saying it's always easy. I'm not saying you just do it once and your problems are solved. It takes some persistence, but what it doesn't take is this tight grasping or clinging to this idea that, okay, loving kindness better fix this problem that I have. Right? That would get us to this belief that something else out there is going to solve everything. Instead, loving kindness practice can help soften our hearts as well as kind of fill it up, but soften this separation and this distinction that makes us think, oh, this person's good, that person's bad, I don't know about that person, and I probably don't even like this person, and this person's in my tribe, that person's not in my tribe. It can kind of soften those hard distinctions that we make. And can help make it possible that more and more people in our lives are supportive. We can have satisfying relationships. Or maybe even if we don't have more relationships, to stop or to diminish those number of relationships that are troublesome or irksome or a little bit bothersome. Another way that loving kindness practice can help is that it can be a place in which we can practice letting go of our expectations. Maybe we have the expectation that if we do loving kindness practice, we should have this incredible feeling of warmth in the center of our heart that just emanates out and then envelopes everybody. And if we don't have that experience, then it's just more a failure, or the practice is a failure. Of course, that's not how it works, but we may have some of these ideas. Those feelings may arise. May also be the case that you do loving kindness practice and absolutely nothing remarkable happens during the practice. It's also the case that with loving kindness practice, it may be uncomfortable and the exact opposite of loving kindness comes up. I've had all three of these experiences where I started to be filled with aversion and ill will, which was quite uncomfortable. I've had things where it seemed like it was kind of dry and nothing was happening. And I've had experiences of this beautiful kind of love, I'll just say it. Just love, filled with love. I don't know exactly why certain experiences happen at certain times. But I do know that the kind of a gentle commitment, a soft diligence, is a way that we can kind of create these grooves in our minds and our hearts of loving kindness. Makes it easier for our hearts and minds to kind of fall into loving kindness. Makes it easier for us to access it when we need it. When we are having difficulties or when we're being intimate with a loved one. So loving kindness practice can really help kind of support our kind of growth and healing and this the end of suffering. It can also help us express what we're experiencing if we're having some well-being or happiness or love. But again, it doesn't mean that every time you practice it, you'll have these fantastic experiences. I will also say that there have been many times when I was doing loving kindness practice on the cushion in a formal way, in a formal meditation posture, didn't feel much of anything, but noticed later that day, right, in my daily life, that kind of loving kindness just bubbled up. And I felt warmth to the car repairman who was helping me with my car. The person I'd never met before, but, you know, I had gratitude and, you know, and my warmth, right? This person responded to it and treated me very nicely, I felt, so. So loving in that way, loving kindness practice also provides a way for us to practice with our expectations. What kind of expectations do we have about what's going to happen? We can see what happens. Maybe it meets our expectations, maybe it doesn't. But to soften our expectations, to let go as best we can, to soften our beliefs about what's supposed to happen with our lives, with finding happiness in general, and loving kindness practice in particular, is going to be really meaningful. It's a way this practice can support that, our whole lives. So, for a practice today, those of you who have been here before won't be surprised that I'm going to start with just doing loving kindness towards a benefactor. That is somebody for whom it's easy to feel loving kindness towards. Some meditation teachers don't use this word benefactor because it's a little bit awkward. I have to be honest, I never use this word except in this context, right? It's not one that we often use. Some meditation teachers use the word the easy person. Person for whom it's easy to feel loving kindness. Sometimes I use easy being because it doesn't necessarily have to be a human. It can be a kitten, puppy. Wow, when I was in Massachusetts, they have these little chipmunks. Oh my goodness, they are so cute that I even brought to mind, oh, I'm going to use these guys for loving kindness practice. They're really cute, just hopping around and, yeah, really sweet. So we start with loving kindness with a being or a person for whom it's easy for us to feel love, respect, care, warmth, kindness. You can choose any word that resonates with you, all of those, or just choose one. And we'll start by bringing this being to mind. You can visualize them. This is something I played around with a little bit on my recent retreat about kind of visualization. And I noticed that I never have like a digital high resolution, you know, image in my mind of the being for whom I'm doing loving kindness practice. It often for me is just a vague sense. Maybe it's just like a color of the shirt I saw this person wear once or something like this. For you, you may be a person that can visualize with a little bit more acuity or sharpness. So don't think that it has to be that way. It can be in whatever way feels comfortable for you. And there's also a second element of kind of the feeling in our bodies. Often we feel this in the heart center or in the belly sometimes. It can be a feeling of warmth or maybe it's a very, very simple sense of contentment or well-being, and maybe it's completely unremarkable. Maybe it's just a soft, gentle feeling. Then the third element is we often use phrases to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness. So these phrases aren't magical incantations. They're just a way for us to kind of repeatedly come back to our intention to cultivate loving kindness. So, of course, you're welcome to modify the phrases in a way that resonates with you, a way that makes sense. Maybe the words that I've chosen here aren't words that feel like the right words you want to use. So after we do loving kindness for a benefactor, we'll kind of open it up and do loving kindness for ourselves. Okay. So we'll begin by taking an alert, upright posture. And let's take three long, slow, deep breaths as a way to connect with the body. perhaps with the exhale, there can be a certain amount of releasing or softening or letting go of whatever wants to be released, softened, and let go. No forcing, just allowing. And then returning our breath to normal and trusting that our body knows how to breathe. We'll just allow it to breathe itself, completely natural. And to start with a certain softening or letting go or relaxation, it can be helpful to check in with different parts of the body. Not that we're going to make the tension go away, but just sometimes by bringing our awareness to these different areas, tension can go away. It doesn't have to. We often hold tension or tightness in our face, behind our eyes, around our eyes, in our jaw. Just rest your awareness there. Check in. Also check in with the neck. And the shoulder, allowing the shoulder blades to slide down the back. Our upper back and lower back. The chest and the belly. Just allow the belly to relax. So often we hold ourselves tight in the belly. Our arms and hands. Allow the hands to relax. You can feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body and trust that gravity can hold you. You can feel grounded, feeling the solidness. Can check in with the legs, the feet, and then to begin with, or maybe to continue with feeling grounded and steady and settled, do a little bit of mindfulness of breathing. So you can bring your attention to the sensations of breathing, whether that's the movement of the belly, the movement of the chest. Maybe it's the feeling of the air going in and out of the nose. Choose one of those three, whichever is the easiest or most accessible, and just rest your attention there on the sensations of breathing. Chances are you spent all day thinking, so it wouldn't be surprising if your mind went off into thought. It doesn't have to be a problem. Just very gently, simply come back to the sensations of breathing. you find yourself lost in thought, you can very just simply begin again with the sensations of breathing. So soon we'll begin loving kindness practice. But if you ever feel lost or confused or overwhelmed, you can always come back to this practice, mindfulness of breathing. Just rest in your awareness on the movement of abdomen or chest, very simply. It doesn't have to be complicated. Now to begin our loving kindness practice, bring to mind somebody for whom it's easy to feel warmth. Somebody for whom you often smile when you just think of this person. And as I mentioned earlier, it doesn't have to be a person. It can be cute little chipmunks, or kittens, or babies, or puppies. You bring them to mind, you can visualize them, or maybe you have a felt sense of what it's like to, how it feels in your body when they're nearby, or whatever makes sense to you, whatever is easiest for you. There's no right way to do this. And the second element is to see how it feels in your body. This may be more accessible for some people than other people. There may be a softening in the heart center, in the middle of the chest. There may be a sense of warmth. There may be nothing remarkable. That's okay too. And then to support our intention to send this lovable being goodwill, to send them loving kindness, to send them care and warmth, some good vibes, we will repeat silently in our minds these phrases. While keeping the person or being in mind, may you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Again, you're welcome to make these phrases your own. You don't have to use the exact words I'm using. You may even choose just to say a single word, perhaps, safe, happy. And of course, they don't have to be in English, they can be whichever language is the language of your heart, or tenderness. Again, bringing the lovable being to mind. It's okay if you visualize and it's really, really fuzzy. That's okay. It doesn't have to be clear. Maybe there's a real quiet, soft feeling of warmth somewhere in your body. Maybe not. We're not trying to force anything. We're not trying to make things happen. We're creating the conditions in which these feelings can arise. We're allowing them to arise. Again, with the phrases, may you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now I'll be silent for a bit, so you can go at your own pace. check in and see if there's any feeling of warmth or maybe small feeling of well-being or contentment. Some happiness may not be your dominant experience. It may just be in a little corner of your experience. If so, see if you can feel into that sensation, whatever it may be. It may not be there. If it is there, allow it to fill your heart, fill your mind. Now we'll take our loving kindness that we cultivated for a lovable being and extend it to ourselves. Of course we deserve loving kindness. We can offer loving kindness to ourselves, care, warmth, respect, just like we would offer it to a loved one. There's a number of ways to do this. You can bring to mind a picture of yourself as you are now, today. Some people find it easier to do loving kindness for themselves when they were younger. Maybe even a child or a toddler or an infant. It's all okay. Or maybe it's easier to have a felt sense of what it's like to be sitting here now. Pressure of the chair or the cushion, your posture. Maybe it's easier to tune into that. And we'll just grow this loving kindness. Allow it to expand. And we'll just change the pronoun in the phrases. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. You may find that it feels a little bit different to do loving kindness for yourself than for a lovable being. Part of this practice is to stretch our hearts and minds a little bit in ways that we often don't think or feel. Instead, to cultivate this quality of loving kindness. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Again, if you find that there is a sense of warmth or care, allow yourself to soak it up. Bathe in it. If, however, you're feeling the opposite of loving kindness, sometimes this happens. See if you can make your awareness really big, really big. And just allow those other feelings, those other thoughts to just be there, but not to take up all of your awareness. If uncomfortable feelings are coming up, you can make your awareness really big, as I said, as well as you can return to mindfulness of breathing that we did at the beginning. In these last few minutes, if you find that your mind is drifting, you kind of wake up in the middle of thought, just send loving kindness to whomever was in your thought. Perhaps you were having a conversation with someone, or you were remembering something, or a fantasy about the future. Just send that person loving kindness. And then to end this meditation, you can feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So before we started the guided meditation, I talked about expectations. And how if we have more of a feeling of fullness in some way, we have less of a sense of lack, however you understand that or however you experience that. Just imagine how you might move in the world with no feeling of lack, with a complete feeling of wholeness. Completeness, then our expectations will naturally shift. We're not expecting other things to fill us up, heal us, make us happy. We're able to serve others, give others, be open-handed, open-hearted in the world. So in this way, loving kindness practice can make our hearts soften and stretch and fill up in some kind of way. It's also a place where we can practice with our expectations to see where we have expectations, in particular about what our meditation practice should feel like, or how settled we should be, what type of thoughts we should have, how our body should feel, what posture we should be in. There's no end to the expectations we have. So we can use it as a laboratory to maybe softly, gently, quietly kind of investigate and inquire of our expectations, in particular in this setting. So now I'd like to open it up to some comments or questions about the practice, about what I talked about. Maybe a little bit you could talk about why are you doing mindfulness of breathing in the beginning? Why are you starting with a benefactor? What is it supposed to feel like? Or what do you mean, soften the heart? I don't know. I'm just throwing things out there. Does anybody have a comment or a question? How was it to go from benefactor or lovable being to self? Was that a simple transition? Do you feel the same? Did it feel different? Can I ask you to use the microphone? Just so that all of us can hear. There you go.
So I did this meditation before, but when I did it, loving kindness meditation, so when I did it for the first time, I thought doing the benefactor at the beginning was helpful, because like usually in normal situation in everyday life in other times, it was very difficult for me to show compassion to myself. And I am like a very judgmental to myself, harsh critic of myself. And but when I focus on another thing, another loving being, like that's easy to love. Look, for example, I was focusing on a bird this time. So it naturally came, the love naturally, the compassion naturally comes. And when I find it, it was easier when I tried it on myself. Then I thought it was a little bit easier. Okay, this is the same thing that I can offer to myself. But I agree that it needs a lot of practice to show compassion to myself. Yeah.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah, the self-critic, right? This voice so many of us have. Because it's familiar, we often believe it and think that it's true and think that the only way we're going to get better is, you know, we're kind of like hard on ourselves and work harder. It's quite something. It's a really deep for many of us. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else have something they'd like to say or comment? Thank you. Oh, is the microphone red? Yeah, I think the battery died. You know, let's... Oh, okay. There we go.
So, I was... It's really hard to sustain the image of the person or the being. And I think at the beginning I was trying really hard to sustain the image or like sustain the presence of the person. But then at some point I was like, oh wait, I'm trying. And so I let that go. And then it was just like, it felt really fluid. It felt like water juggling around, where like it like flashes and then something else comes by. So it was just kind of an interesting experience that I felt in relation to trying to bring this person forward.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. That's fantastic. I think that's very common that for those of us who aren't used to visualizing all the time, there can be like a little bit of a strain, right, to keep the in our mind. And I think it's you did the right thing to kind of just let it go if you find yourself kind of straining. And speaking for myself as somebody, it's not so easy for me to visualize. I often will find myself just letting it go because it gets a little bit too complicated. But let me ask you about this kind of fluid, watery experience. Was that, what was that, a pleasant, unpleasant? Was it warm, cold? How was that like?
It felt neutral to a little bit cold, where I can feel a sense that the compassion or love and kindness is a little bit inaccessible. But like things are moving. Like I see things juggling around.
I see.
But it felt a little bit cold. It wasn't really, really cold. It wasn't unpleasant to the touch. But it felt a little bit cold. And I think I had some expectation that I needed to feel warm and happy. And but then I saw like a neutral, mildly cold juggling.
Yeah, that's fantastic that you could see that. That you could see, oh wow, look at all this, it's juggling and I'm moving around. This is often how it begins, is that we just start to understand how our mind works and the types of things that happens in our minds. That's fantastic that you're able to see that. And that it didn't have the warmth that often we kind of associate with love and kindness practice. But that's okay. That's okay. Thank you for sharing. That's great. Okay, I know somebody has something to say. Or maybe not. I think that maybe I'll just share that these cultivation practices, specifically loving kindness, are really powerful. I think that it's often has been underestimated how much we can influence the state of our hearts and our minds. You know, that we can intentionally cultivate, develop them in a particular way. It's really possible. We don't have to just accept you know, okay, well, this is how I am. I mean, we have to accept the reality, the truth of the moment, but we don't have to feel powerless that we can't make changes, that we can't transform our hearts, that we can't transform our minds, that we can't transform our lives. We can. We can.
How is it better to do this kind of practice in person first before we can visualize them? Or any suggestions on how to do this in daily life? Say I'm interacting with someone. Do we like tell ourselves things? or yeah, just any kind of.
So when you said it in person, you meant like when...
I'm seeing that person in front of me or, you know, in daily life, basically. Yeah. Not in this setting.
Yeah. I think the trick to doing this type of thing in daily life is to not have it feel burdensome and to not have it feel awkward and clunky and uncomfortable. So you can set the intention. I would like to send... well-wishing, loving-kindness to people throughout the way that I meet throughout the day, and then allow that to express itself in a way that feels natural. So it could be a quiet little may you be happy to the person on the bus. It could be, you know, may you be happy to the person in front of us in the grocery store line or whatever. Or maybe it's a just like dropping in and feeling like or softening the heart in some way. But if we feel like, oh, every single person, I have to go through all four phrases and all that kind of stuff, that's not helpful and it's not sustainable either. So I think it's beautiful to set the intention, if this indeed is your intention to do that. And often if we repeatedly set an intention in the morning, for say, we may forget for 95% of the day, the first day. And then the second day, we forget 94.7% of the time. And the third day, it's, you know, 94% of the time. It just slowly just becomes a little bit easier and easier to do it. But again, don't set up an expectation that you're going to be doing loving kindness to everybody all the time. And maybe the second thing that I'll say about that, too, is that we do have difficult people in our lives very often. It may be a high bar So when you're in the midst of a disagreement, or you're feeling really uncomfortable, or you're with somebody that you really dislike, to be sending them loving kindness. You can get there, right? But it's a high bar. So often what can be helpful, if you find you're in the midst of a disagreement or you're feeling particularly put off or put out by what somebody said, for example, you can do loving kindness for a lovable being, for chipmunks, babies, your benefactor. It doesn't have to be for this person here that's saying what you don't want to say. You kind of just shift your attention, a portion of your mind, open your heart to somebody else for whom it's easier to bring loving kindness. And that just brings a little bit more space in what's happening. And that little extra space can bring a lot of ease and a lot of freedom, so we're not quite as reactive. So I think having that expectation that we would have loving kindness even towards difficult people and in difficult situations can be a really high bar. It's possible, and you can get there, but that's with, you know, some time with some dedicated practice. Was that helpful? Patience, fantastic, thank you. It was such a great word. Yes. Okay, so today is Independence Day, 4th of July. I wish you all lots and lots of freedom. Thank you. I'll stay up here if you'd like to talk to me afterwards. Otherwise, I wish you a safe and happy 4th of July.